Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Kings chapter 15, 34 verses in this chapter. And we'll have some translation and commentary. And then this is, today will be part 3 of the fullness of the stature. This is the first in the series of the fullness, receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. But there is an amplified message on this that we'll be doing in a few days or a few weeks on receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the pinnacle of salvation. And then we have a couple of letters, one from Africa and another one from India. We have a lot of churches. People are just rising up there from the literature that the Lord has given. And they are really soul winners. There is a stronger, more powerful work going on in Africa, India, the Philippines, and other countries, far stronger than there is here in the United States. Howbeit, we are winning souls in the United States, but I reckon that there's just so much temptation in the world that it seems like some of these poverty-stricken countries are not privy to the temptation of it as much as they are here in the United States. But the United States is going under, and it's becoming like a third world country because of the sin that's here. But anyway, let's all go up to the throne of the living God and ask him to anoint, to pour out his Holy Spirit, to give power to this service. Power, Father God, we ask that you and give the outward power, the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon this service. Open up the windows of heaven and open up everyone's heart and soul and their ears to receive the more life from you, from your word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And we know that there's so much temptation that we need to be more tempted. We need to be 100% tempted to and desirous of receiving more and more of you, your word. You are God. Word of God, you are God. Word of God, you are Jesus. Word of God, you are our life. There's more life of God, eternal life, immortal life that enters into us when we receive your word, which is you. Lord, we ask that you give us this life more and more abundantly. This is the kind of life that you're saying that you will give us more abundantly, life and life more abundantly in our spirit. Some people think that, Father, this means more money, but no, your precious life is more abundant as we read and hear your word and receive it into our hearts and allow you to live out your life in and through us. This word makes it possible for you to be worked into our spirits. You want to, your will is to work yourself into us so that we have complete power, dominion over our flesh, ourselves, the I in us, our opinions, our ideas, our philosophies, more power over sin as Satan, the devil, more power over the world and all the temptations in the world. Lord, we need to stay away from all these, because if we don't, we will not we'll fall. We'll be part of the great falling away. So Lord, we pray that give us more and more of your life so that the temptations of Satan will roll off of us just like the water on the back of a duck, just as it did you, Lord, when you were on the mount. You were out in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. It didn't even faze you. Lord, we ask that we have that same spirit in Jesus' name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now let's begin with the letters. Where's the first one from Michelle?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right.
Dear Brother Alamo, greetings in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. I got your world newsletters and tracts. I am really happy to receive them. Many thanks for your great spiritual encouragement. I have read and read again and again your wonderful articles in your newsletter. I taught the people according to your tracts and articles. Every Sunday I am preaching from each of your articles to the people. Your articles are spread around 100 villages. From me, many people are hearing the messages.
See, from him. Now this man is on fire, just like Brother Buster is over in Texarkana, and several of the other people that are in the church. And the people that are in the church are zealous to get the literature out on the streets. You know that they're zealous that if they come off of a witnessing crew and they come back in the church, that they don't flop and sleep all day, like it is reported to me that some of the witnessers do. And they don't go out just so that they can eat in fancy restaurants. These people don't have fancy restaurants to eat in. Either did the Apostle Paul or any of the apostles. That isn't what they're all about. And they're not going to churches, these people, to flirt with the girls in the church, or the girls are not going there to play eyesies with the men that are in the church or the young boys. They're there to worship the Lord. And there's a big difference between worshipers of the Lord and people that are just superficial, shallow, that don't have the Spirit. It's like, in order for us to be sitting with the Lord in heavenly places, we have to be sitting with him in heavenly places in order to have power and dominion over everything in the universe. And just like a falling star that falls out of heaven and it loses its brightness, it no longer has power and dominion to do the work that the Lord had created for it to do, and that is to shine upon the earth. God made lights in the heavens, the Bible tells us, in creation, to shine on the earth. And it loses its power to do that. And it falls to the earth or it becomes dirt. And like I stated in one of my upcoming messages, that Satan, the Lord cursed him and stated that he would be eating the dust of the earth. Well, we're made out of the dust of the earth, and Satan can eat us up, eat us alive, if we're not sitting with Christ in heavenly places. If we fall away from Christ in heavenly places, if we don't believe the scriptures that that's what it is, that we're really sitting with Christ in heavenly places, we won't be able to do a work like this man says that he's doing. He's brought forth the light of the gospel in over 100 towns or cities here. And Buster is just burning the different towns up around the Texarkana area with the gospel. This man is sitting with Christ in heavenly places. It is very disgusting and revolting for him to be in a church where there's a bunch of little uninterested people that are just there to flirt with other people that are not on fire for the Lord. It's dust flirting with dust. It's not people that are really bright or shining lights of the Lord or representing Christ or allowing Christ with the Father by the Spirit to represent them in this world, and they all are one, as we know, but they're just there as dust, consuming one another, eyes full of fornication and adultery, and not at all concerned about the Lord. A lot of them like to go witnessing because they get to go in restaurants, and a lot of the truck drivers, consume, like sometimes, as I've heard, $50 to $100 worth of food in one day or on one trip. And my God, it's like they're not at all concerned about saving the money to get the gospel out. And I, as a pastor, have to bring these points up. I appreciate all the work that the young people do in the church. However, I don't appreciate the idea, though, if they're not, or anything they do that much, if they're not interested in being bright and shining lights for the Lord. Because They all fall away, and like Paul said, a lot of them forsook him. Every single one of them forsook him at one point. But I just love the letters that I receive from people here in the United States. But there are more of them coming in from Africa and India. These people are about 1 billion people strong over there. And there, you hear people in the United States, people that are Antichrist, they say, what about these people in the deepest, darkest part of Africa, in the jungles and stuff? I talked to a lot of Muslims while I was in prison for the gospel. A lot of people think that's awful that you're in prison for the gospel. Well, let me remind you that Jesus was in prison. Amen?
Yeah.
Paul was in prison. Peter was in prison. He was taken out of prison. An angel came at night and smote him on the side and got him up and took the chains off him, opened the doors, and they got out. All the apostles were in prison. Amen?
Amen.
And almost all the prophets were in prison as well. And so I feel that I'm a very, belong to a very special fraternity club. All of us that were former prisoners, not for anything evil thing that we've done, but because of the good. The evil people on this earth that make up stories about you and have you thrown in prison and things that they, if you're doing things that the Lord says is okay, they try to make the things that the Lord says that you're doing, that the Lord says is okay, they try to make that to be evil. And it's just too bad that people receive from Satan rather from the Lord. But it's not too bad for me. It's bad for them. And it's going to be very bad for them at the judgment bar of God. But, you know, getting back to being bright and shining lights for the Lord, if you're not sitting with Christ in heavenly places, you're not saved because you're not a bright and shining light. You're not sitting in a strategic area of the universe to where you have power and dominion over your flesh, over yourself, over all the other things that I've mentioned, your attitude, your satanic attitude. Somebody ruffles you the wrong way or something doesn't go your way one day. You're not sitting with Christ in the heavens because you let it get to you. You just let anything, if somebody just doesn't pay enough attention to you, or if you don't get your way, you're not sitting with Christ because you become disgruntled and it enters into your heart to, boy, you're going to leave the church and all this sort of stuff. You're just like a star that was in the heaven at one time and you, or maybe you never was there because it seems like you've never really been anything for the Lord in the church. The Lord just keeps you busy with other things to keep you out of church business, because if you got involved in it, you might be very detrimental to it. But we pray for you for better things, that you eventually will begin to be in the completed salvation. Completed salvation is that you die out to sin. the old you, or the old man that was in you, is nailed to the cross with Jesus. You're resurrected from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit that enters into you. Then you get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so you have power for the ministry. And the third is you are part of the ascension of Christ. Because without the ascension of Christ, you're not sitting in heavenly places with Him. And you don't have power and dominion over all the elements, the negative elements that God is against. And so that's why these messages, a lot of people say, well, how can we be perfect? If you're sitting with Christ in heavenly places, my friend, and you're taking power and dominion over your flesh, yourself, your ideas, your philosophies, your opinions, and everybody else's opinion on the face of this earth, and ideas and philosophies, and if you're sitting with Christ, you're not part of any false religion or political order whatsoever. But you've got power and dominion over everything on the face of this earth. You've got good direction from God, excellent direction from Him. And when He starts destroying the wicked on the face of this earth with His plagues during the Great Tribulation, the Lord will lead you and guide you to a safe place of refuge, to where you're watching the whole thing just like you're watching a grand movie. All right? And so you must, that's the 3 points of salvation. It's death on the cross with Christ, resurrection, and ascension. If you don't have all three of them, you are not in the ministry. You're in darkness still. Well, Christ had to go to be in this place of ascension in order to pour out his life-giving spirit unto us, which the King James Version calls it the quickening spirit. He could not, from that vantage point, unless he was sitting in that vantage point, pour out the quickening spirit or the life-giving spirit into us and make us saved. And we could not be ascended with him in that tremendous strategic area in the universe if he had not ascended and if we were not part of his ascension. So you meditate upon that, brothers and sisters, because I know that the majority of the people in the world have never preached this message. All right, and that's the true message from the Lord. And I'll show it to you in a future message that's coming up. All right, now go ahead.
Through your articles, many people are turning from their darkness and idol worshiping. Our motto is, preach the good news to the poor. Many people asked me for your tracts in Telugu language because the Indian people don't know English, only the highly educated. Please pray for this great need to the Indian people. Please pray for our good fellowship and churches. We will pray for you. Please pray for us. We are always praying for your health. Send the t-shirt or sweatshirt in any size. I have disciples. May God bless you. In Christ's service, B.J. from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Praise the Lord. When they say they have people that are ministering with them, which means that they won them to the Lord and they're like their disciples, find out how many they are and what their sizes are, and let's get those t-shirts and sweatshirts to them. Amen?
Amen.
And Father God, we pray for these this man and his churches in these 100 cities and all the disciples. Lord, let them sit with you in heavenly places. Let them have the power and dominion over the entire universe with you. Father God, there's no way that the power of darkness can take them down when they are completely saved, when they're sitting with you in heavenly places, as the Word of God says that we are. We're far above the crowd, the maddening crowd. We're far above the sin and satanic influences on this earth. And because our minds are stayed upon you, and they're going to stay upon you, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Because we're sitting in a strategic area, the most powerful area in the whole world. We're sitting victoriously in the same throne with you, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our brother, our King, our Savior, our Messiah, our soon and coming Savior. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we pray for them and every other brother and sister like that that's really sitting with you in heavenly places. They might even not know it, but I want them to know it, and I want to bring these messages, and I know you want me to, and so I'm doing it. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, so what's the next letter now?
From Malawi, Central Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the big name of the Almighty God and in the name of our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who has chosen you to be his messenger. God bless you more. I would like to thank you very much for remembering me and putting my name on your mail list since you have replied to my letter. I would like to let you know that I have just received your literature papers and a book of the Messiah. I hope to have more of the spiritual books as well as Holy Bibles. In fact, your message is very understandable and is encouraging to each and every one and really touched my heart, and I have now been converted. Even my prayers are together with you whenever you give prayers for all the followers of Jesus. My heart is ever filled with joy since I received your literature. I am your servant evermore. In fact, I read your literature 2 and 3 times, and it gives me understanding to know the Bible, and the contents so surged through my bones, and the tears ran down from my eyes. I became a born-again person. Some nights I think of how God has wonderfully brought you to know me in his power, to me.
You know, like when you know the Bible, you really know God, because the Bible, the Word of God, is God. Amen?
Amen.
And the more you know the Word, the more you know God. And the more you know Him and what He wants you to do and what He wants you to be, you say, well, how do we sit with Christ in heavenly places? By faith, brother. Mm-hmm. Everything is by faith. Amen?
Amen.
By faith, sister, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith, just like you do salvation, just like you receive a healing, and just like you receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you believe in the second chapter of Acts, well, then you believe that God has already poured out the baptism of the Holy Spirit on this earth. And right in that chapter and in the book of Joel, the Apostle Peter and Joel are saying that I will pour out, quoting what the Lord told them, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Amen?
Amen.
So if you believe God, you know that He's pouring out His Spirit on you, your flesh, aren't you? Brothers and sisters, and not only that, everybody on the face of this earth. And so all you have to do is have faith in what the Lord says, faith in what He's already done, faith that He's already died for your sins, your old man is crucified on the cross with Him, He's already resurrected from the dead, and He's already ascended into the kingdom of God, amen, and He's already pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, amen?
Amen.
So all you got to do is receive it, amen?
Amen.
Just receive it and praise and thank the Lord for all the things that He has provided for you. It's already a done deal, amen?
Amen.
And He says that we already have victory. Well, how do we have victory? Because we're sitting in the most powerful place in the universe with Him. And we have power and dominion over everything, including ourselves. That's the first thing you want to have power and dominion over. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so this man says, well, I'm learning the Bible more. Well, I want him to know that he's also learning the Lord. That he means that he's learning, he's knowing God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that's wonderful to know God. He said, the Bible says, know me. Amen?
Amen.
Know me. Because I know you, but he said, if you know me. But he says, if you don't know him, he says, I'll say to you, if you phonies that are in the ministry just to make finances or whatever, you're in there for prestige or whatever, the Lord will say, you say, well, I did a great and mighty work in your name, Lord. Have I not done great things? While you see the anger of the Lord in his face looking at you. And he'll say, no, I never knew you. Because you never really knew me. You didn't really know that you have to be in the Spirit. You have to walk in the Spirit. You have to speak. Let me speak through you. You have to let me do miracles through you. You have to be sitting with me in heavenly places. We have to fellowship together. That's knowing somebody. You could say... look at a movie and you see some movie star saying all these wonderful things, and that isn't him at all. He's just acting on a part. Amen?
Amen.
But God is not acting. He's not an actor. He's very active, but he's not an actor. When he says he's going to do something, he will do it. And if you know him, you're going to be better off than anything in the entire universe. You're going to be part of his body, and you're going to know the body life. You're going to know how to be part of the body of Christ. You're not going to try to be an individual. You're going to be a part of the body of Christ, working together for the purpose of the Lord to destroy his enemy by the preaching of the gospel. We're to be as wise as serpent as the serpents, but harmless as a dove. We don't use carnal weapons at all. The weapon we use is the most powerful weapon in the world. That's the same weapon that Jesus used against Satan on the mount out in the wilderness, was the double-edged sword, the Word of God. He didn't, take a machine gun, or he could have invented one right there himself and put about 10,000 rounds through the devil when he was there. He didn't push him off the cliff or anything. He just used the Word of God against him. That's the most powerful weapon. It's the most powerful weapon. It's the sharpest. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen?
Amen.
And God's going to come back, the Lord Jesus Christ, and destroy Satan with the sword of his mouth. Amen?
Amen.
The Word. All right? Because it was the word that created the entire universe. And it's the word that's going to burn up the whole universe and make a new one for the righteous saints that sat with him in heavenly places to live. Because only righteousness shall dwell therein, in the New Jerusalem, in the kingdom of heaven, right here on earth after it's refurbished. All right, so go ahead and finish it. All right?
Some nights I think of how God has wonderfully brought you to know me in his power, to make me as your own son through prayers, to pray for me. Really, you have encouraged me and lifted me up with your inspiring material. There is nothing that I can say other than may God bless your ministry. Through your nice prayers, I have much understanding. Your prayers are very effective, and by the power of Jesus Christ, God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I am encouraged, and I am enclosing herewith all my interest, love, and faith in my heart. God bless your ministries. Yours in Christ's name, WTW, from Livingstonia, Malawi, Central Africa.
Okay, here's one. That's one of the boys that's sitting in the darkest jungles of Africa, huh? It sounds like he's got lots of light over there in that jungle. Amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you, those people over there are really on fire for God. And I just pray, Father God, that you bless them, open up doors for them, and let them continue to sit in heavenly places with you, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's go to chapter 15 of 1 Kings with this 34 verses. All right, come on, let's go.
Abijam rules in Judah, King James Version, verse 1. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. Verse 2. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Verse 3. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him.
He didn't sit with Christ in heavenly places. You say, well, Christ wasn't there then. Oh, yes, Christ was even before Abraham. Christ was, amen?
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world, Christ was, amen?
Amen.
And my little daughter, she's almost 4 years old, she's saying amen too. Then what?
And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Verse 4. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem, to set up his son after him, and to establish Jerusalem. Verse 5. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite.
A lot of people say, well, do you feel that that's, that then we can go out and commit adultery and send somebody, murder somebody, and God will say that that's all right? No, because see here in the New Testament, the New Covenant part of the Bible, the New Testament, which is the New Covenant, the New Testament, we have the power of God now in us, and we now are resurrected from carnality, or the ability to sin, and because we're sitting with Christ in heavenly places. Now we have all the power of Christ from his throne, and we're not, he made a mistake there, a couple of mistakes there, which are really sin and bad ones. And if we fell from the vantage point, this tremendous place of power in heaven, and like a falling star and hit the earth, then we are meat for Satan to eat, because that's the curse on the devil. He was embodied in a serpent, that he has now been given the permission to eat the things that are dust, which we're made of. And so now we can't be committing adultery, not even once. And we're not allowed to. We have the power, we don't want to, because he that sins or even thinks about sin is of the devil. And we're sitting with Christ in heavenly places. We're sitting in the throne up there with him, because we're members of his body. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so I don't think that he was as perfect as you could possibly get, I reckon, without the power of God being in a person. He had the outward anointing now and then to write and to do battle and things like that. But the power wasn't living in him constantly. There was nobody in the whole Old Testament that had that. Christ was only able to send himself living in us by our faith. And then he was only able to give us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the outward anointing on a continuous basis when he's sitting on the throne in the kingdom of God. So that all happened. That happened through his ascension. And now we're part of his ascension, and so therefore it's impossible for us to sin that know the Lord. I'm talking about not knowing, you know, that you know the name of Jesus or something. But the name of Jesus is the word of God. To know the Lord, you're actually sitting there with him. He's alive, and you're alive in him, all right? Because he that sinneth is of the devil. That's why it's so easy for a pastor that really is sitting, or even people in the church that are sitting with Christ in heavenly places, it's so easy for us to be able to see or to determine who's really knows Christ, who really is part of the spiritual realm, and who's part of the dust. Because you see Satan eating them up off and on. Some days they'll be up and next days they're down, because Satan is eating them up every other day or different portions of the day. Why? Because they're not with Christ in heavenly places. Amen? The devil can't do anything to you when you're sitting up there with him. Huh? Wouldn't you feel good if you were just, you could, your spiritual eyes could open up and you could see the Lord, you're just sitting there on his lap? Or that you're in his body up there on the throne and overlooking from this incredible view from heaven of everything, and then this sleazy serpent on earth reaching its ugly head up to you and snapping at you, but you just sit in the heavens laughing at him. Amen? Because he can't have you for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Amen? Or for brunch, or for any midnight snack. Okay, you're sitting with Christ. And if you don't believe that and you don't want to receive that, well, then he's already got you. Okay, then continue on, please.
Verse 6. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Verse 7. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. Translation, verse 1 through 7. Abijam rules in Judah. Abijam began to rule over Judah in the 18th year of Jeroboam's reign in Israel. Verse 2. He reigned in Jerusalem 3 years. His mother was Maacah, the daughter of Absalom. Verse 3. He committed the same sins as his father before him, and his heart was not right with the Lord his God, as the heart of his ancestor David had been.
Right, because he wasn't with him. He wasn't with the Lord. How can your heart be with somebody if your heart is with the devil, the serpent, or, you know, on yourself, which is the same thing? Anything other than the Lord is the devil. Anybody you put before God, like your mother, father, sister, brother, son, or daughter, or relatives, or anybody on earth, that's an idol to you. It doesn't have to be made out of stone. Money is an idol to some people. Food is an idol to some people. They just can't divorce themselves from their gluttony or their fornications or their adulteries or all the other things that they commit, because they're not with the Lord. They don't have his power. They don't have his spirit, his power. His spirit is his power. The word is spirit, and it's life, and it's power. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus, and if you are part of his body, you have all power in heaven and on earth. All right, then what?
Verse 4, but for David's sake, the Lord his God allowed his dynasty to continue, and he gave Abijam a son to rule after him in Jerusalem. Verse 5, for David had done what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, and had obeyed the Lord's commands throughout his life, except in the affair concerning Uriah the Hittite. Verse 6. There was war between Abijam and Jeroboam throughout Abijam's reign. Verse 7. The rest of the events in Abijam's reign and all his deeds are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. There was constant war between Abijam and Jeroboam. King James Version, verse 8.
Okay, now do you think that if a person that says they're president of the United States and they're sitting with Christ in heavenly places, that they're looking to gas people and to blow civilians and children up and saying that, oh, we're going to bring about peace on earth by blowing people up until they get to the point to where they're going to believe in our Antichrist way of living? Yeah, they figure that if everybody believes in the Antichrist way of living, then we'll have peace because we'll all be a bunch of Antichrists. No, what it is that's just, they believe in togetherness in a sinful way. But when we all have to be together, but in a different, complete different way, we have to be together in Christ. Okay, in a peaceful, that's real peace. But of course, the Bible tells us that things are going to get worse and worse here on earth, that people will deny Christ and the Word of God, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, more and more. And so, but we're still sitting in the strategic place of power in the kingdom of God, those of us that know the Lord. And we're going to be people, the only spectators that are left, to watch this whole scene of the God's seven major plagues. And then we'll be able to, from the same vantage point, watch the seven other plagues that are coming after that. And we're going to get to watch the devil that's caused us so much trouble, and all those imps that follow him, those demons, and all those that, all the humans that absolutely rejected God and would not receive power but loved weakness rather than power. We're going to watch them burn. And all the angels in heaven are going to watch it. And the Bible says they're going to be praising and thanking the Lord and saying, "Hallelujah, thou art worthy, O Lord, and thou art righteous to destroy this entire cancer of evil that has been on earth, that rejected you and your salvation and all of your mercy." All right, then what?
Verse 8, King James Version. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. Verse 9. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. Verse 10. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Verse 11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
As did David, his father. Verse 12. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land.
Took away the Sodomites. Those are the homosexuals. Okay, so if you think that God loves homosexuals, these people have even opened up what they call churches, their cults. And of course they call the people that are of the Lord cults. Those of us that are sitting with God Almighty himself, they're calling us cults. These people that are strictly dust on earth, like all the isms. Okay, then what else?
And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. Verse 13. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron.
See, he was the person that didn't put mother, father, sister, brother in front of the Lord. If mother was doing something wrong, he put her out of the way. Then what else?
Verse 14. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days.
Well, I thought these reprobates today said that you can't be perfect. No, if you're sitting with Christ in heavenly places, and people back then had to believe in Christ in order to be zealous. They had to believe in salvation and eternal life in order to be zealous enough to do all these things, because there nobody would want to do these things or would do them if they didn't know that God, that there was a God, and that there was a tremendous punishment if you didn't do them, and that there was a beautiful place, a beautiful consolation for doing them, a place in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and then what?
Verse 15. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself had dedicated, into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. Verse 16, and there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. Verse 17, and Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah, and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Verse 18, then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hazion, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, verse 19, there is a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Verse 20, so Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of the hosts, which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel-Beth-Maacah, and all Kinneroth, and all the land of Naphtali, with all the land of Naphtali.
Okay, now let's do translation and continue with translation, because we're running short. Okay, and what else?
Translation verse 8. When Abijam died, he was buried in the city of David. Then his son Asa became the next king. Asa rules in Judah. Verse 9. Asa began to rule over Judah in the 20th year of Jeroboam's reign in Israel. Verse 10. He reigned in Jerusalem 41 years. His grandmother was Maacah, the daughter of Absalom. Verse 11. Asa did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, as his ancestor David had done. Verse 12. He banished the shrine prostitutes from the land and removed all the idols his ancestors had made. Verse 13. He even deposed his grandmother Maacah from her position as queen mother because she had made an obscene Asherah pole. He cut down the pole and burnt it in the Kidron Valley.
Right. Now, prostitutes and homosexuals, it's the same word. So it's talking about homosexuals, but I prefer using the homosexual word, as the King James Version does, because of the fact of how prevalent it is with these same-sex marriages and everything. He removed prostitution and the homosexuals. All right, the homosexuals. All right, then what else?
Verse 14.
The sodomite. Sodomite means, sodomy is like homosexuals, lesbians, and people that are bisexual. You see them today saying, well, do you have sexual relationships with just women? Oh, no, I do with women. I'm a prostitute. I'll be with a woman or a man. And the females say the same thing back and forth. It doesn't make any difference to them. They're just dust, and it doesn't matter which way they go, because there's no fiber or righteousness in them. They don't... there's no word of God in them. They don't pay any attention to that. To them, it's foolishness. To those who perish, the Bible says, they're not sitting with Christ. They're it's so easy for them to focus on the world, and it is for everybody unless you believe the gospel and ascend with Christ. If you say, "Well, I haven't ascended, I am with Christ," then you're not saved yet. The cycle of salvation hasn't completely happened. Well, you say, but the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ means the Word of God, the whole Bible. And so the complete salvation is the death on the cross, resurrection, and ascension. Okay? So if you don't believe that, then you don't believe the Word of God, which is Christ. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Word of God, and then thou shalt be saved. Amen?
Amen?
And you have to be sitting with Christ in heavenly places and take power and dominion over the evil that's here on earth. But if you're part of the evil, how is it then that you say that you believe in Christ? You see prostitutes, they're wearing Mary Magdalene medals because they belong to that cult out of Rome, or one of its affiliates. And How can you say you love the Lord? The Lord who hates prostitution, the Lord who hates homosexuality, despises it and says he's going to send all of them to hell. And it says it repeatedly in the Old and New Testament. How can you say that you're of the Lord when you are doing these things that he hates and says he'll send you to hell for? Do you think he's as weird as you are? Or as sick in his head as you are? Or warped in his thinking as you are, that he's going to go along with your warped way of life? Come on. You say that you were born a homosexual. No, you weren't. You may have had a demon enter you at the time of the birth, but you were not born a homosexual. No. Or you say, well, what about me? I was born without an arm, or I was born without a leg, or what? Well, the Lord may have done that because if you were born whole, you might have gone to hell. He gives all of us an environment for us to live in because of the fact I have really bad eyes. And there must be a reason for it. I have glaucoma, and that's why I have my wife read the scriptures. Otherwise, before my eyes got so bad, I could read the scriptures you would think you're listening to a radio announcer. Because I used to be able to read that fast and talk that fast. I can talk that fast now, but I can't read that fast at all. It'd take me a long time. But God has created us the way that we're supposed to be. But he certainly did not create any homosexuals or any sinful or any people that he wants to sin. No, he didn't do that. Satan wants you to sin. And so if you succumb or you receive anything satanic, well then, that isn't God doing that to you, or it wasn't God that created you that way. He created us with physical defects. There's some females that were created, and males too, that were created that are unattractive to the mass of humanity, because if they were attractive, they'd probably be homosexuals or prostitutes or some kind of, they might be in the motion pictures or something and become as wild as you see them be. And they get so high and mighty because so many people admire them that they actually begin believing that they're gods. Go ahead.
Verse 14, although the pagan shrines were not completely removed, Asa remained faithful to the Lord throughout his life. Verse 15.
Well, we can be preaching the gospel all of our lives, and still the pagan statues are here. That doesn't mean that we were wrong, because sometimes we're not able to get rid of all the pagan statues. We're not allowed to go in there and like this carried whatever her name was with a pickaxe and go into nightclubs and start bashing the bottles of whiskey to pieces, and to go into houses of prostitution and put pickaxes through the beds and all the ornaments that they have there and whatever. So we just preach the gospel, and it's the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, which also is the gospel of wrath to those that don't believe. Okay, then what else?
He brought into the temple of the Lord the silver and gold and the utensils that he and his father had dedicated. Verse 16. There was constant war between King Asa of Judah and King Baasha of Israel. Verse 17. King Baasha of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. Verse 18. Asa responded by taking all the silver and gold that was left in the treasures of the Lord's temple and the royal palace. He sent it with some of his officials to Ben-Hadad, son of Tabrimmon, and grandson of Hazion, the king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus, along with this message. Verse 19, quote, "Let us renew the treaty that existed between your father and my father. See, I am sending you a gift of silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel so that he will leave me alone," unquote. Verse 20, Ben-Hadad agreed to King Asa's request and sent his armies to attack Israel. They conquered the towns of Igon, Dan, Abel-Bethmaachah, and all Kinnereth with all the land of Naphtali. Verse 21. As soon as Bashan of Israel heard what was happening, he abandoned his project of fortifying Ramah and withdrew to Tirzah. Verse 22. Then King Asa sent an order throughout Judah requiring that everyone without exception help to carry away the building stones and timbers that Bashan had been using to fortify Ramah. Asa used these materials to fortify the town of Geba in Benjamin and the town of Mizpeh. Verse 23. The rest of the events in Asa's reign, the extent of his power, and the names of the cities he built are recorded in the book of the history of kings of Judah. In his old age, his feet became diseased. Verse 24. When Asa died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Jehoshaphat became the next king. Nadab rules in Israel. Verse 25. Nadab, son of Jeroboam, began to rule over Israel in the second year of King Asa's reign in Judah. He reigned in Israel 2 years. Verse 26. But he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, and followed the example of his father, continuing the sins of idolatry that Jeroboam had let Israel commit. Had led Israel to commit.
Okay, so he, all right, he was using his natural constitution, his self. He just did what just naturally, nature-wise, all right? Just like the nature of the flesh, the dust. Okay, then what else?
Verse 27. Then Baasha, son of Ahijah from the tribe of Issachar, plotted against Nadab and assassinated him while he and the Israelite army were laying siege to the Philistine town of Gibbethon. Verse 28. Baasha killed Nadab in the third year of King Asa's reign in Judah, and he became the next king of Israel. Verse 29. He immediately killed all the descendants of King Jeroboam, so that not one of the royal family was left, just as the Lord had prophesied concerning Jeroboam by the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh. Verse 30. This was done because Jeroboam had aroused the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, by the sins he had committed and the sins he had led Israel to commit.
You see, the Lord gets angry. All right, so don't say God is just all love. Don't say that anymore. Okay, what else?
Verse 31. The rest of the events in Nadab's reign and all his deeds are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Baasha rules in Israel. Verse 32. There was constant war between Asa and King Baasha of Israel. Verse 33. Baasha began to rule over Israel in the third year of King Asa's reign in Judah. Baasha reigned in Tirzah 24 years. Verse 34. But he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, and followed the example of Jeroboam, continuing the sins of idolatry that Jeroboam had led Israel to commit.
All right, that was the 34 verses of chapter 15, 1 Kings, and now some commentary.
15, verse 5. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 11 for the story of David and Uriah the Hittite. 15, verse 9. See Asa's profile in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 for more information on this king. 15 verse 15. These gifts for the temple were articles devoted to God as sacred offerings that Abijah had taken in his war with Jeroboam. 2 Chronicles chapter 13 verse 16 through 17. And Asa had taken when he defeated the Cushites. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 12 through 13. 15 verse 16. Baasha seized the throne from Nadab, chapter 15 verse 27 through 28, who had replaced his father Jeroboam as king. 15 verse 29. See 1 Kings chapter 14 verse 12 through 14 for Ahijah's prediction of this event. 15 verse 30. All the descendants of Jeroboam were killed because Jeroboam had led Israel into sin. Sin is always judged harshly, but the worst sinners are those who lead others into doing wrong. Jesus said it would be better if...
That's what the homosexuals do. They say, well, what's wrong with homosexuals? Let them live and let them live. Well, you know, if that were the case, but that isn't the way the Lord sees it. They don't live and let live. We see them on television now. Showing and teaching in schools now that this is a third lifestyle or preference for marriage, and we see same-sex marriages. They try to turn on people's children. They are, as the Lord calls it, fatherless children, which is bastard race of people, and they can't do that and enter heaven. And so I just wonder how long I'm going to be on the air with these messages, because most radio stations will not play my messages because they're so highly influenced by the lobbyists of the homosexuals. The homosexuals pay thousands and millions of dollars in Washington to lobby those politicians, that and they grease them. They give them lots of money to make laws that will make it possible for them to be able to openly promote their wickedness into the world. And the politicians are as wicked as they are because they allow them to do it. And but the people of the Lord have to separate themselves and not allow their children to be privy to their filth, their degeneracy. They say that this is what the majority of the people want. Well, that's what the majority of the people wanted in the days of Noah, and God took care of me, drowned them all. All right, then what else?
Jesus said it would be better if such people, those who lead others into doing wrong, had millstones hung around their necks and were thrown into the sea. Mark chapter 9, verse 42.
Right, and it says that they know the full decree of death that God has pronounced upon them, but yet they still continue doing the same thing, belligerent, just so they don't believe God. And worse than this, to make matters worse, they encourage others to do the same things that they do, and they applaud those that do it, just as you see this satanic antichrist government doing. How much longer am I going to be able to stay on the air with this message? But you know something? I am a person that has my own media, and that's the thing they don't like. I get my literature out on the streets. I'm not totally dependent on them to be able to get the gospel, because a lot of people don't listen to the phony preachers that are on, a lot of them that are phony that are on television. I'm not saying all of them are, but the majority of them are. And they don't listen to them, but they do listen to me. And they know now that I can get my tapes, and they can watch my website and listen to this gospel on the website. How much longer I'll be able to do this, I don't know, but you know, you can sure order the tapes and the literature, and you can read it, and it's not going to change, even if you are influenced towards Satanism after you hear my tapes. It's still not going to work. You're still going to go to hell and wind up in the lake of fire if you do. So you better let the things that I'm saying, which are directly from the Bible, stick with you, because don't forget them from day to day. Meditate on them day and night. Then what else?
If you have taken the responsibility for leading others, remember the consequences of leading them astray. Teaching the truth is a responsibility that goes with the privilege of leadership.
Okay, and now that was the commentary of chapter 15, 1 Kings, and now part 3 of the fullness of the stature of Christ. This is important. Go ahead.
The fullness of the stature of Christ, part 3, the body. We have to know Christ, the head, and we also must know his body. So every Christian who wants to engage in spiritual warfare, which is a commandment from the Lord, must first know the church. They must know the body of Christ. So there isn't anything that requires us to know the body so urgently as spiritual warfare.
Right. Now, when a person, when a pastor sees girls and boys flirting with each other, and some of them are antichrist, they're just dust, and you know, they're trying to pull sisters out of the church. I, as a person that is a warrior, a spiritual warfare, must separate them, or else I would be in tremendous trouble from the Lord. And you can't allow this sick, spiritually sick people, or people that are not spiritual at all, to entice someone that is possibly going to be spiritual out of the church. Because if I did something like that, I'd be as bad as these types of people. And so spiritual warfare is a must. We've been called to war against Satan, to fight Satan, and we're called into a battle whether you want to be a fighter or not. If you're not a fighter, you're not going to make it into the kingdom of God. All right, and then keep going.
The reason for that is because spiritual warfare is not an individual matter, but it is an entire church matter or a body of Christ matter.
Right. There's no such thing as an individual in the church where you can say, well, I don't believe in fighting, and so I'm not going to fight the fight of faith. Well, then you're not part of the body of Christ. You never were and never will be. Because if you're not fighting spiritual warfare, the body does. And if you're not part of the body of Christ, then you're not saved. All right? I hope you can figure that one out after you're, especially after you've been told that. Amen?
Amen.
It's not that you can't be divided from Christ to do evil, or you can't say that I'm good because I don't like fighting. I'm a peaceful type person. Well, the Lord says that he's a man of war. Amen?
Amen.
And that he says, fight. Paul said, I fought the good fight of faith. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be trying to make yourself good or apart from the body by saying, I'm not a fighter. Because if you're not a fighter, then you're not saved. Because, that is, you know, Satan doesn't bother you at all that he's in the world. Doesn't bother you that he's in the church. Doesn't bother you whether he's in the home, or doesn't bother you that he's got a good firm hold on you. Doesn't bother you that you're not sitting with Christ in heavenly places. Okay, then what?
There isn't any individual Christian or believer that can fight with the enemy, God's enemy.
No, you can't fight Satan as an individual. It must be the entire body of Christ fighting Satan. Okay, and if you're not part of the body of Christ, of course you're not going to fight. You're just a nothing. You're part of the dust of the earth. That's it. You're not with Christ in heavenly places. And I want you to know that. God wants you to know that. That's why he called me to tell you these things, because the other pastors won't. Okay, then what?
It takes the entire body of Christ, the entire church. If you wish to learn spiritual warfare, you must first know the body of Christ.
You must know the church. You must know the bride. You must know the bridegroom. Amen?
Amen.
You can't be part of the bridegroom, his body, and be over here someplace else. You can't be detached from the body. If your ear is detached from the body, then it turns into a piece of beef jerky and then disintegrates into dust. Amen?
Amen?
You have to be part of the body. If you take a branch off of a tree and throw it on the ground, the tree will keep going, but not the branch. The branch will wither. Amen?
Amen.
And turn into mulch. Okay, then what?
You may ask the question, why do you have to wait until this particular level to speak of knowing the body of Christ, or the body? It's because the body of Christ referred to here is the mystical body of Christ, the church. The body of Christ is formed by Christ as life in each of us. So Christ is...
Oh, yes, the Lord forms himself as life in you to be part of his body. Because the life flow of the Spirit is in you because of you're receiving the truth. Now the truth is that you have to be part of the body. You have to be a part of spiritual warfare. Amen?
Amen.
Why else would the Lord tell you to put on the full armor of God? So that you can defend yourself from the wiles of Satan. Amen?
Amen.
You don't put on the armor of God because you don't feel you're in a war, that Satan's after you. He wants to you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and brunch, and midnight snacks, and so on, all right? But he does. Why? We know that because God says so. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so you don't want to be an independent? Forget it, you're lost. That's your opinion. That's your idea, that's your philosophy, but it's false, according to the Lord. And then what?
So Christ is formed by he himself.
Christ's body is formed by him. And him likes to fight. Amen?
Amen.
Him likes to fight. Jesus is a warrior. Amen?
Amen.
He fought Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Did he whip them out of the money changers, all these money changers, and get them out of the temple?
Yes.
Didn't he say he's going to burn everybody up that doesn't to do that? He's going to have the, they're going to pray for the rocks and mountains to hide them from his wrath. Let's start learning the true personality of God, our God, Christ. Okay, then what?
It involves his spirit, Christ's, being mingled with our spirit in us. During the second and third levels of your experience of life, you were still living in your own life. Therefore, you cannot know this life of Christ, which mingles with you to form a body, the body of Christ.
Right. He forms his own body. My sons, my daughters are made, come out of my body. Okay? And it's up to me to raise them up spiritually so that they become part of the body of Christ. Because anything out of the body is withered and dead. All right, then what?
It is only when our self-life has been utterly mortified or dealt with, and that you have the experience of passing through the Jordan and entering into the next level, will you be able to touch the reality of this life of the body of Christ.
And spiritual warfare, amen?
Amen.
Okay, yeah, because you can't war against Satan unless you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, unless you've crossed Jordan. Now, you got salvation by passing through the Red Sea, but now you have to pass through the other body of water, which is the Jordan, and you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to make war against the seven nations of Canaan and destroy them. Now, back then, that's all symbolic of receiving the Spirit of life inwardly and receiving the power of God outwardly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of Christ. Then what else?
And only then will you come to know the body, the church, Christ's body.
And then only then will you be able to war spiritual warfare. Oh my, we didn't know all these things. You know, some, I know why you don't, because I don't hear them preaching it on television or radio or anywhere. Okay? So if you want to, you know, learn all about life, the experience of life, then get these tapes. And gosh, I've done probably 500 of them since January. Then what else?
Every saved person is...
But I've done thousands of the tapes down through the years, thousands and thousands of them, and they're available. Okay, what else?
Every saved person is a member of the body of Christ, and the life of each one, including you, and a life pertaining to the members or to the body. So let's ask that question. Is then the life in each one of us a life pertaining to the members or to the members of the body? The Word of God, the Bible, and our experience prove that though each one of us is a member of the body of Christ or a member of Christ, yet the life in each one of us is not a member life, but a body life.
Yeah, it's not for us to be an independent member, to be wandering off someplace. We have to fight in a unified way, just like you see the one world government fighting for Satan and to these satanic purposes in one way. It's a one world, one way government that you see is from Satan. It's the spirit of Satan living in all these people, and that's in order to fight them, we have to all be in unison with the Lord. We can't be an independent arm or a leg or an eye or anything like that, okay? Or we'll wither. Then what? God has not saved us for that purpose. Then what?
The life in each one of us is not a member life, but a body life, which is again the body of Christ.
Right, it's a one body, one spirit, one God, one Lord, one war, one enemy. Everything is one. God thinks one. One, one, one. That's the way the Lord thinks. There's one body of Adam, and then there's another man. The second man is just one man. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Eve came out of Adam. The Christ's bride comes out of Christ. That's simple, isn't it? Okay, then what?
All the members of our body are sharing one life and one life only.
Right. The spirit that's in me is feeding also my fingers, my toes, my brain. Everything is within one body. You don't see my hand over there turning the lamp on while I'm sitting in the next room. Amen?
Amen.
Or somebody comes to the door and says, Western Union, and they've got guns or something else. My hand doesn't open the door, and he shoots my hand. But if he shoots me, he's going to shoot my whole body. Amen? But if I'm sitting in heavenly place with the Lord says, don't open that door. Amen?
Amen.
Don't open the door. Okay, what else?
Each one of the members of our body shares the common things, the same life together with all the other members of our body. That is the life of the entire body. For an example, any part of your body, unless it has been cut off, shares the very same air or blood which flows through the eye, which flows through the ear, the toes, the nose, and the entire body. Similarly, it's the same thing in the body of Christ. When one member is joined or united to the body of Christ, or having fellowship with the body of Christ, his life is the life of the body, and the life of the body is his life. It will not do for anyone to be separated from the other members, on a spiritual basis I'm talking, or in reverse. Now because the life both in him and in the other members is of the same body, it can neither be distinguished as one entity nor separated, because it is the life of Christ which joins us by the Spirit together to become the body of Christ. In other words, it is this life, the love of Christ, which mingles with us for us to become the actual body of Christ.
Not a fictitious body of Christ, but the actual, real body of Christ that wars spiritually, spiritual warfare. Then what else?
If we pass
in the unison together, one, you know, part of the body is sleeping one day like a dead dog, like a sleeping dog, while the lion is eating your brains out. I had a vision like that, where I saw this bulldog, and I couldn't see the top of his head, but he was just laying in the noonday sun. Half of his body was in the house, in the doghouse, and the other half is out in the world. And then the vision went back like a television screen. It was just like a TV. And I could see the top of his head was like a dog dish, a bowl. And the lion was there just laughing, just eating leisurely while this dog was sleeping. And the Lord was letting me know that possibly I was that sleeping dog. That was back when I was a baby Christian. He says, you mustn't sleep. And he says, this is the way the whole world is. They're like dead, they're sleeping dogs, and the devil is lapping their brains out. Okay, then what?
If we pass away, when we die, and someone is looking at our body, they don't say, here is the toe, or let's pay tribute to this hand, or this ear, or this nose, because it's all one body.
No, they're paying tribute to the whole body, amen?
Amen.
They're there at the funeral of the body. Then what?
That's the way it is with the body of Christ. It's one body.
But the body of Christ never dies, amen? You're
amen.
Not going to Christ's funeral anymore. He died once, and that was it. That's enough. And he rose from the dead, and he ascended, and now he's alive forevermore. Okay? And we are to die out to sin in this world, and sin, Satan, the world, flesh, appearance, all the other things of the flesh, and we're to be sitting with him in heavenly places so that we are able to be alive with him forevermore as well. Amen. We are to be part of the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. Okay, then what?
You cannot experience this.
And also the war with Christ. We're to war with him. For all that are with him are not against him, but all those that are not with him are against him. Are you for or against the Lord? Okay, then what?
You cannot experience this before the difficulties of self have been entirely mortified or dealt with. If you are still living according to the flesh in yourself and serving the Lord in your natural ability, the life of the body, which is Christ himself in you, has no way of being manifested, and there is no way for you to know the body. The more you live by the flesh, the less you will feel the need for the support of the body.
The church, the bride, the New Jerusalem. Then what?
It's like a lot of Christians feel they don't need to attend the church.
The services, right. Then what?
They don't feel they need anybody.
Well, they haven't gone through the fire yet. They haven't gone through the dealings of all their self, their flesh, their feelings. They're just operating on their own opinions. So the more you live by your own opinions, your flesh, your ideas, the less you'll feel the need for the support of the body of Christ or the Spirit of Christ. If you live by your own self-opinion, you find no need for the sustaining power of the church or the Spirit of God that's in the body of Christ. So if you serve with your natural constitution or your natural ability, you sense no need for the coordination of the members. You don't have to be nice or greet one another with a holy kiss. And that doesn't mean to kiss each other. It just means to say, "Praise the Lord, brother. How are you today, brother or sister?"
Right. There are some of the church busters tell me, and other people tell me in different other churches that we have here in the United States, that people say, "Praise the Lord, brother," and they just walk by him. Or they'll get up in the morning and you'll go to get in the vehicle and the person's got an attitude. You can tell they're not sitting with Christ. They're just bummed out because they, everybody knows that it's a hassle to get out of bed in the morning. It's a hassle to go take a shower. It's a hassle to do everything. But still in all, if we're in the body of Christ, we do them. Just like Christ was faithful, even to the death, he went to the cross. Amen?
Amen.
So that he could fulfill salvation for us. Death on the cross, resurrection, and ascension. We have to receive them all to be saved, and then we have to receive the rest of the word of the Lord to do the work of the Lord. We can't do anything to get saved. We can't pay for it or do any special works, but after we get saved, God calls us into being yoked together with him in work. He wants to work in and through you, and we have to cooperate and let him do it. Then what?
Only when your flesh has been dealt with, has been mortified, and your self-opinion has been mortified or broken, your spirit and your natural life has been smashed to pieces, shall the life within cause you to realize that you are simply members of a body, and that the life in you cannot be independent. Therefore, this life requires you to have fellowship with all other members and be joined to them in the spiritual realm.
Brothers with brothers, sisters with sisters, husbands with wives, wives with their own husbands. Then what else?
And it also brings you into the fellowship and the experience of being joined together spiritually. This doesn't mean physically.
Right, because some churches may get it into the head, well, we're all one body, so we can all have sex together. I know of a church like that near the Fort Smith area, and they are totally wrong. It's a spiritual connection. Amen. Then what else?
There is a natural separation which you all know of in the church. It is at this level that
the natural separation is the men and women are separated, except to married couples. And when they want to get married, well, then they they get married. But there's no dating in the Bible. Show me where they date in the Bible. All this is or they test each other out to see if they're going to be compatible and all this sort of thing. If it's of the Lord, it's a spiritual matter. It isn't anything about the way you look or the way you act or your age or anything like that. It's if it's of the Lord, it's of the Lord. Love knows no boundaries. The Spirit of the Lord knows no boundaries. I mean, if people have come to the marriageal, the time of marriage where they've reached puberty, they can now have children and so on, and it's of the Lord, then let them marry, the Bible says. They sin not. Okay, then what else?
It is at this level that you begin to know more concerning the body or the church and become qualified to engage in spiritual warfare. One way you say that if you want to fight the spiritual warfare and deal with God's problems or difficulties in spiritual warfare, you must first deal or mortify your flesh, self, soul life. Therefore, this solves your own difficulties or problems. And in another way, you say that in order to fight the battle, you must first know the body of Christ. You must know the
way... The church, yeah, the body of Christ. And what else?
You must know the way that the body is put together by the Spirit of Christ, and that you must cooperate with the body. And in order to know the body, the mystical body of Christ, and live in the mystical body of Christ, you must first deal with your flesh, self, and soul life. So whether or not you're speaking from the position of fighting the spiritual warfare and knowing the spiritual mystical body of Christ, every one of us must first pass through the preceding other levels, coming out of the flesh, the
that
self.
I've mentioned in other tapes. Okay, and then what else?
Coming out of the flesh, the self, and the soul life, in order to attain to the next and final stage of the experience of the fullness of the life of Christ.
All right, praise the Lord. You've heard 1 Kings chapter 15 with its 34 verses, translation and commentary. And also you've heard the two letters, one from Africa, the other one from India, in part 3 of being filled with this fullness of the stature of Christ. I pray that you'll meditate on these things. To do the keeping the commandments of the Lord, one of them is to pray without ceasing. Pray always. Be there with Christ in his ascension in the kingdom of God. You, of course, we're living here on earth, and we're being used by him here, but we're not able to be used by him unless we're sitting with him also spiritually in heaven. But so this is Pastor Tony Alamo. And until chapter 16 of 1 Kings and part 4 of being filled with the fullness of the stature of Christ and other letters, this is, again, I pray that you'll be well and that you'll be filled with the Spirit and that you'll be concentrating on the Lord and turning your eyes away from the entire, all of the things of the world. And yourself, and just let's be used by God today. God bless you, and praise the Lord.